Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Community of Grace. Let me open us up in prayer, and we'll get started here. So, Father, I thank you for our time this morning. Lord, we just invite your presence to come and to just fill this place with your presence, God. Lord, I just pray that as we look into your word today, that you just be speaking to our hearts and our minds, that you would be showing us the things that we need to see, not only in ourselves, but the things that you're doing around us. And I pray that you would encourage us, that you would minister to us. Just come have your way with us today, God. We give our time to you, the great and awesome God. And we just give you glory, and we just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we've been going through Ephesians, and we're in chapter 5 at this point. And I have two things that I want to cover today. And so because I have two things to cover, I'm just going to warn you, we may go just a little bit longer than we normally do, but it won't be too terribly long, but we may go a little bit longer today. So let me just say this too. It has been a really bad week for allergies. And so if my voice doesn't sound quite right, and if I start coughing, it's not COVID, okay? It's allergies. It's the result of the week that I've had. Whatever is, something bloomed this week, and so did my sinuses. So anyway, so having made that disclaimer, now let me go on here. So the first thing that I want to cover today is the verses in chapter 5 that we're going to look at. So let's start off with verse 15 of Ephesians 5. It says, "Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise." Paul says here, he says, therefore, because Ephesus was a wicked place with their idol worship and the immorality that went with it, but also that the city had so embraced these practices and abandoned their previous means of building their economy. Therefore, the climate of their city had become very immoral and very evil. And this did a couple of things to the section of the community there that was trying to follow Christ and serve him. It tugged on those parts of the believers there that still had parts of the old person on them that they were still carrying around. Every believer has this. No matter how long you have been a believer, no matter how studied you are, no matter how experienced in ministry you are, no matter how anointed you are, we all have parts of the old self in us. Because the process of taking the old self off and putting the new self on is just that. It's a process. It begins at salvation in our spirit with Jesus coming into our hearts and filling that formerly dead area with himself. But once that happens, the individual also enters into an ongoing process called sanctification, where over the course of our lives, all of the other old person areas that were not instantly changed at conversion are in the process of being exposed and confronted. And as they are, we're supposed to shed them off, because sometimes we don't know they're there. And so God works to help us see them. And then we are confronted with the choice of taking them off or not. But if we take them off, every time we do, we become more and more like Christ in our mind, in our will, in our emotions. The thing about this process is that as these things are being revealed, we are then confronted, as I said, with the choice of, are we going to take that thing that is being revealed off and put it down, or are we going to leave it on? Or maybe we're being tempted to put something back on that we've already discarded. But the thing about it is we all face these choices all of the time. And what adds to the pressure of this battle of our wills is the things around us, the things that we see, the things that we hear, even the things that we smell and taste. These jog our old memories, they kick up our feelings, and they add to the pressure to pick that old thing back up or to take that thing off that we're still wearing. Or will we finally take that thing off this time that we're supposed to take off? Or are we just going to indulge in those things that we shouldn't again and again? And so in Ephesus, you had this battle going on with the believers there because the climate was full of evil. But with that, there's also the spiritual climate. You know, how does what goes on in the world or that part of it impact the spiritual climate? Now, here's the thing. We are not just physical beings. We're also spiritual as well. We Christians walk in two worlds at the same time. We live and move and sense and interact with the physical world. But we are also spiritual people. We sense in the Spirit. We feel in the Spirit. We hear, we see spiritually. Because God has made us that way to interact with Him. But there's so much going on around us, both spiritually, in the heavenlies, and demonically, and we can pick up on both of them. And part of being mature is being able to discern which is which. The world is full of people who can feel and sense things spiritually, but they have no compass until they come into that saving relationship with Christ and are discipled in those things. Until then, they're already off course and they don't even know it. So they can pick up on things, but they come to the wrong conclusions with them. And so for them, it's so easy to get caught up in the wrong things, and they don't even know that they're wrong. But we who know Jesus, we've been taught, we have a discernment, and we are able to sense and differentiate which is which and know what is good and what is not. But even knowing that doesn't prevent the spiritual battles that come, because we get tempted. We get spiritually attacked. We may sense things spiritually, but depending on what they are and where we are in our development, they can take us down without the proper training. I've seen people, I've met with people who would pick up on an entire room, know what was going on with people, and be overwhelmed with picking up on a whole room full of people, and it just overwhelmed them. In my development in this, that was one of my earlier introductions into this. It overwhelmed me. And these battles were going on in Ephesus and with the believers there. Now, this is also why Paul says in Ephesians 5, verse 10 and 11, he says, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. We looked at that verse last time. Paul is trying to not only encourage the believers there to stand firm in their faith and walk with Christ, but also call back those who were sliding down into a hole of getting caught up in those deeds of darkness. So there was the climate in Ephesus. There's the ongoing battle that they were facing and that we face too all the time of, are we going to put on the new self? Are we going to take off the old self? And again, there's a spiritual warfare that every believer faces. Once you become a Christian, you got a target on your back. And the devil's goal is to keep us from walking with Christ and giving into temptations. And that's not just picking up the deeds of darkness. It's not just the things we do. It's also our attitudes, our thoughts, the decisions that we make. For example, am I going to love that person or not? Am I going to forgive that person or not? And he does these things with us to hinder or ruin our effectiveness as a witness and as an agent of Jesus. And to use you to disrupt and to discourage your fellow church family members. But he will also try to discourage us individually, to try to get us to take our eyes off of Christ and His promises and His truths, and to get us all caught up in our emotions, our anger, our bitterness. He'll try to discourage us, try to get fear to rise up in us, and the list goes on and on and on and on of all the things that he'll try to do. Now, as I talked about last week, Ephesus's harbor and shipping trade was not the only thing that had shut down. at this point, you know, in the letter. Ephesus as a city and a culture was in terrible shape. But within them was this group of believers that had the answers to fix everything because of the Christ that they carried. We too are in a broken world. COVID has changed the world. And even though the virus is not as serious as it was, it has changed the world, and the world has not yet recovered. Our world is broken. The systems of our world are broken. But the thing that we need to hang on to is that we are children of God, and because of that, we have the authority and the power and the wisdom and the heart and the mind of Christ. And as His beloved children, so just as the people in Ephesus did, the believers in Ephesus did, you know, just like them, we are the lights of Christ. We shine Him. We demonstrate Him, or we should. And this is so that we can let Christ shine in a dark world. And it is a dark world. But so is Ephesus. But because of this, the enemy tries to pull us down, as well as trying to get us to compromise ourselves. And therefore, limit or halt our effectiveness because our light, the light of Jesus, needs to shine in this world as it is. Just as I said, it needed to back in Ephesus. So when Paul says here, therefore, it's therefore because of everything that I've just said. He says, therefore, in verse 15, be careful of how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise. By the way, this isn't just confined to men either. So now Paul mentions a few things about how we are to walk. But along with that, how we are not supposed to walk. How many times have you gone somewhere or engaged in something and thought as you were venturing out into that or starting to participate in something, and a thought hit you that said, you know, I don't know if I should be doing this. Y'all had that? Yeah. Yeah. Or some other thought that came to your mind that was like a warning, right? Those thoughts could have been the Holy Spirit warning you. How many times did you not heed that thought and later said, you know, I should have listened to that little voice? It's okay. You can nod your heads. It's okay. There's no judgment here, okay? Or those times that you didn't heed that voice and you said to yourself later, you did heed that voice. And then later you said to yourself, man, I am sure glad that I listened to that warning in my head or that feeling in my heart. Or the term that some of us use is, I listened to that check in my spirit. See, what we're talking about is not just for our actions, but it's our thoughts as well. Because as Mark 7:21 says, for from within, out of the heart of men, proceeds evil thoughts, fornications, thefts, murders, and adulteries. 1 Corinthians 10:12 says, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed that he does not fall. How many times have our thoughts gone down a direction, and as that was happening, something else in our mind said, you shouldn't be going down that road. You know where it's going. You know? And our thoughts, and while that's going on, we've got these thoughts going on in our head. As our thoughts start to go down in one way, there's another thought that comes to our head, and it says, it'll be okay. You can keep going down that road a little bit longer. You know, because sometimes those thoughts we go down, we like them. They're not good for us, but we like them. And we say, you know, because we like them, we say, you know what? I'll stop in a minute. And you know what? That's 1 minute too long. And so we try to justify it, to make excuses for what we're thinking, and we go, you know what? This time it'll be different. I know I'm going down that road. I've been down that road before in my thoughts, but you know what? This time it'll be different. And you know what? And the end result is, it's not. It goes the same way. Our battle, our walk as Christians, just as for them in Ephesus, it's a day-by-day, minute-by-minute, hour-by-hour thing. Now, God is with us, Okay, he's on our side, and he wants us to be victorious, but we need to listen to him when he speaks. We need to recognize when he's speaking. And again, we need to be so committed to wearing the new person all of the time that when activities are put before us and as thoughts enter our minds that we are not of the new person, that our commitment to the Lord as well as our commitment to who we really are is so important that those old thoughts have no effect. The thinking behind this verse here is to be very careful walking down a path. The question that each of us needs to ask ourselves is, am I going to be unwise or wise on the path that I'm on? The question also is, why would someone who is wearing the new self choose to be unwise? Again, because we are constantly confronted with which self we're going to wear, day by day, moment by moment. And so the answer is that in that moment of choosing to be unwise, I am no longer wearing the new person, but I have picked up the old person. It goes like that, off and on, all the time, that fast. So why would a new person do that? Well, that does kind of suggest a problem. And it's a cause for us to look inward. It's a reason for us to pray, or another reason for us to pray, and to seek God honestly, and to get some good godly counsel if we need it. But also keep in mind, when you pick up that old person in that moment, the question we need to ask ourselves is, who will it impact besides me? Because sometimes when we go down roads we shouldn't, we don't think about everybody else. We just think about ourselves, right? We need to realize that it's not just about us. And so when we go down roads we shouldn't, we need to ask ourselves of who else is going to be impacted by what we do or what we say. How will it impact them? Whichever person we pick up, whether it be good or bad, every time you pick that person up, you reinforce that person inside of you. But also in those moments, when we're not walking in the new person, we are vulnerable. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober of spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. That's not a good thing to have around when you're walking in the old self. There may be a situation right around the corner that God is going to use you in, but the problem is you're not ready because you've put the new person down for the moment. And you don't know the opportunity that is right around the corner where God wants to use you, and guess what? You're not ready for it. Why? Because you've taken off the new person. You're wearing the old person. And in that moment, you know, God may still choose to use you, but things may not go as well as they could have if you were wearing the new person. Or maybe you missed the opportunity altogether because I'm not engaged where I need to be, and I'm not seeing or hearing like I need to be seeing and hearing because of who I am wearing and who I'm not wearing. Or that opportunity may go badly because I wasn't ready. The point is this, is that it's not just about us. The thing about it is, it never was. We don't always know when those opportunities are going to arise to be used that God brings up. That's why we need to be ready, or the other reason why we need to be ready. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 6 says this, so then let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober. For those who sleep do their sleeping at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we are of the day, let us be sober. Here, this means to be alert and to be ready. Having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we will live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another, just as you also are doing. So how can we encourage and help and support one another when we're walking in the old self? And if I'm caught up in the old self, am I praying for other people? I don't think so. Ephesians 6:18. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert, and with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. Let me go back to that verse that I started with, Ephesians 5:15. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise. And then jumping down to 5:16, which follows it, make the most of your time because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. In other words, don't waste time wearing the old self. Time is a gift from God. Don't just be wise in your thinking and your actions. Be wise in what you do with the time. In a time that is evil, God has given us many gifts. And one is time. So don't be foolish with it. Not just in the decisions that are made, but also know and understand what God wants you to do with the gift of time that He has given you. Time is something that is always moving. It doesn't stop. There's not just the battle of making choices of the new self over the old self. In the time given to us, there is also not wasting the gift of time that God has given us. Taking advantage of the opportunities that come before they go. Being that witness, being that example to others that need it while you can. Stepping out of faith when led. Giving that word that God put in your heart to share at that moment. Praying for someone when they need it. And it's doing it at that time. At that moment, that God-ordained moment where that door is open, that window is open. For you to move and act. Taking care of the things that need to be taken care of and do it when God leads you. And don't waste the time and put it off because the opportunity and windows come and the windows go. The doors open and the doors close. So don't waste the gift of time given you, and that is also why it is so important to not put on the old self, because the days are evil, meaning that the evil that confronts us all throughout every day. You know, we are so bombarded with it these days, morally, globally, ethically. We are tempted, we're persecuted. I mean, just like them back in Ephesus. Now these did, and it didn't stop with them either. But unlike God's gift of time, these things seek to take us down roads that are a waste of time. You know, the devil wastes no time, taking advantage of the time to steal, kill, and destroy. So why should we waste time not thwarting him? I thought I'd get amen on that. And this is why Paul encourages them here in the book of Ephesus. This is why he encourages us through the book of Ephesus. Put on the new self and keep it on and learn from Jesus and his example. John 5:19. Therefore Jesus answered and was saying to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner. If we have the new self and we're looking to the Father and listening to him, and he will guide us in the use of the gift of time that he has given us. Now the word understand here in verse 17 of Ephesians 5, so then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. That word understand here means to grasp, it means to perceive, it means to see with the mind and comprehend. It's to comprehend what is God's will so that you can be a good steward of the gift of time that he has given you, of the moment that he has put in your hands. You know, that moment to not waste. Let's go on to verse 18. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Now this is another area of walking both wise and unwise. So, as we talk about putting on the new self and talking off the old self, as we talk about doing, about not doing the deeds of darkness, as well as the other things that we've covered in the previous messages, in handling our feelings and the words we use and the heart behind those things, as well as the issues that we have that Ephesus had in the climate that they lived in, as we too live in a time, in a world that is broken and seems to be increasingly evil, Paul's list of things to cover would not be complete without this verse. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, there are two things about this verse. One is the natural, in other words, the flesh, and the other is the spiritual. So first, let's talk about the natural. Let's talk about the flesh part. The issue here is not drinking wine. Okay? The issue here is self-control. Dissipation is excessive drinking and the behaviors that follow from a person who has consumed too much alcohol. What this is, is consuming something to the point to where it is now in control of you. Hence the phrase, under the influence. In this case, a chemical. The chemical that alters one's behavior and their thoughts and perceptions. Under the influence, people become someone that they would not normally be. Okay? Judgment is impaired because it impacts and interrupts the neural transmitters, which is the chemical balance of the brain. This behavior of intoxication over long periods of time gains more control of a person. They become consumed with having more of it. Therefore, they're drunk more often. But they may develop a tolerance and therefore consume more to get the effect that they want, and they become addicted, and if they try to get off of the alcohol, they go through withdrawals and can result in mood changes as well as problems with brain function as well as other physical issues in the body over periods of time. Now the question is, why is Paul mentioning this? With all that's going on in Ephesus already, you got to figure the drunkenness was also going on. I mean, it was already going on in the world long before this. And Paul is writing about it, obviously, because believers were caught up in it. And sadly, it still goes on today. As of 1988, there was an estimated 10 to 15 million alcoholics in just the United States alone. And it was an issue regardless of age, race, or religion. And certainly the number has only gone up over the years since, especially with all that's been going on in the world in the last few years. The other thing is that under the influence, we are easy prey for the enemy. Again, going back to 1 Peter 5:8, be sober of spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Under the influence, to be intoxicated, our inhibitors and other things are lowered. Emotions can be higher as we lose control of those areas as our brain and our decision-making is influenced. But the other thing with this is that under the influence, we can have opened the door of our consciousness to something ungodly coming in. Now, for those of the new self, why take that chance? Paul's point is this: don't fill yourself with this. Be filled with the Spirit. But the other thing about this is why? Why fill oneself with wine? You know, people abuse things. And people get addicted to things for other reasons than just the taste of them. People run to things to escape, to not feel what they're feeling, to not see what they're seeing, to forget, to try to cope because they're having trouble doing that. They run to what's easy, they run to what's available, and to where they can get it anytime they want. I think that people everywhere get like this at one time or another. So this wanting to run from things and avoid things and looking for an escape, I don't think this is uncommon. In fact, I know it's not uncommon. But the issue isn't as much running to something as it is what we run to. I almost got amen there. In Ephesus, there was the pressure to conform. There was the pressure of the world all around the believers there. And how it appeared on the outside. Again, it was just like Eve with the fruit. When we talked about Eve in the Garden of Eden, there's the fruit hanging on the tree. It looks good. It's desirable to make one wise. There's the pressure from that. Those things that we see out there that pull at us and entice us. And then there's the pressure from others. You know, it's hard to be a Christian in certain settings, in certain situations, you know, of being different. Because sometimes we want to belong. And sometimes being a Christian in certain places, we don't feel like we belong. How many of you have gone to a family gathering and you were the only believer there and you felt like an outsider amongst your family? Oh, there's the amens. Okay, I don't know where you guys are at. You know, there's that thing of wanting to belong and be like everyone else. And it's even harder if the pressure comes from friends and family and loved ones. You know, I was at a family gathering yesterday. And my brother's wife is a school teacher. And she told me about the new thing that is starting to pop up in school now. Because, you know, the school years are just starting now. And, you know, we're all upset about the things that our kids are being exposed to. Well, there's a new one now. It's just starting. It's called Pan or Pansgender. It is basically doing whatever you want with whoever you want and with whatever you want. It's not just, yeah, it is. And my sister-in-law has someone in their group of teachers that has come back from vacation and is full on in this. And she's walking around school saying, you know what? I'm your go-to person for this. In other words, not to educate you to warn you, but to educate you to entice you to come into it. It's terrible. But you know what? This is the world we live in. There's other agendas that are being renamed and pushed all over again on the kids. Our world is broken. We have a world that preys on children and it's endorsed. But you know what? Ephesus was broken too. You know, we have COVID. They had a broken harbor system. They were one of the major ports along the coast of Asia Minor, and they just let it go. And they embraced prostitution and idol worship, and they commercialized it. We have COVID, and all these other things came in with it. But you know what? Those things were already there. But they just made a huge leap forward. Same thing with the stuff in Ephesus. The idol worship the idol worship was already there. The temples were already there. But when something like this happened, it just opened these doors for these things to leap forward. And so all these things create a pressure to stand firm in a time like this, to be wise. And that's why we're encouraged in Scripture, because it's not easy. It wasn't easy then, and it's especially not easy now. And so when we talk about running to something, we see what they're all running to. But we need to run to Jesus and not to the things of the world. The new self runs to Jesus. The old self does not. Okay? Proverbs 23, verses 29 through 33 says this. Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has contentions? Who has complaining? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? This is the result of running to things of the world for help. In this case, they're talking about alcohol again. It doesn't fix the problem. It just adds to it, especially when one abuses it. You know, you get drunk, and then in the morning, guess what? You come to find that you're in a bigger mess than when you started. How does this begin? Well, verse 30, those who linger over wine, those who go to taste mixed wine, do not look on the wine when it's red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it goes down smoothly. That's the enticing part, right? Verse 32, at the last it bites like a serpent, it stings like a viper. Your eyes will see strange things and your mind will utter perverse things. This is the result of running to the world. The wine is just an example. You know, it doesn't fix the problem, it just adds to it. It's like running from something and falling into a pit. Now you got another problem besides the one you were running from. But the true answer is Psalm 28:7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in Him and I am helped. Therefore my heart exalts, and with my song I shall thank Him. Psalm 37:40. The Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in Him. Psalm 46:1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And if we had the time, I'd read Psalm 91, the whole psalm, all 16 verses, because it is 16 great verses of what these verses are saying. But here again, it's don't waste time. Don't procrastinate. Don't be chasing things that are not productive. Have good godly goals and purposes. Be moving forward in things. Don't get caught up in running from things and getting caught in addictions. And by the way, there are all kinds of addictions. Not just chemical. There are all kinds of addictions. Running is running. Hiding is hiding. I don't care what form it takes. It's more than just what you ingest. The issue is, where do we turn? What's our focus going to be? Here, Paul gives the contrast to what he just said. Ephesians 5, 19 and 20. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. Psalms, hymns. These things, they encourage us as we read them and as we sing them. When we worship, it's not just offering up praises to God. It's also ministering to us as we worship, encouraging us as we sing these songs and these hymns, because they're taken from Scripture. You're quoting Scripture when you sing. Your words that you declare, they release things into the atmosphere. They speak to your spirit. It mentions spiritual songs here. These are other songs that we sing in addition to the ones already written that we already know. Songs we make up that praise Him. Songs that encourage us and they remind us of the things that we need to be reminded of. Songs that come out of us as we engage Him. It's spontaneous worship that comes out of your spirit. It's you praising Him, thanking Him. And these things, as we do this, they lift our spirit. They encourage us. And they serve to remind us of God's faithfulness and His power to remind us in those hard times, or while we're in hard times. This same verse, Ephesians 5:19 and 20, in the New Century Version says, "Speak to each other with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making music in your hearts to the Lord. Always give thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." See, it's not just praising and encouraging yourselves. It's sharing your praises and worship with others to encourage them. When you worship, yeah, it's encouraging you, but it's also encouraging the people around you. This is part of the importance of coming together to worship. You know, in a time where churches are seeing, you know, declines in attendance because people are saying, "Well, I don't need to go to church. I can watch it online." Guess what? We need to be together. We need to come together and we need to worship together. To build one another up, because we are all in a battle. No one is immune to this. Ephesians 5:21, and this is in the New American Standard. "And be subject to one another in the fear of Christ." The New Century Version, the same verse in the New Century Version says, "Yield to obey each other as you would to Christ." So as we worship, as we share Scripture, as we encourage one another, it's receive it. Open yourselves up to it. You know, trust God's Word. Receive the testimonies. Now, it says in the New American Standard, it says, "Be subject to one another in the fear of Christ." Fear in the New American Standard means respect. This is what it means here, is respect. So out of your relationship, out of your respect for the Lord, receive the testimonies. Receive the praises from others and the message that it brings. Receive it for your encouragement and your survival, because the days are evil. God uses us to minister to one another. It's really hard to do that when you're not here. Just speaking practically. Okay? Which can also only be done if you're walking with the Lord. And loving and respecting one another and opening ourselves up to receive from God as He uses us, one member of the family to another. Now, that's the first thing I had to say today. Here's the second. It's not near as long as that. Okay. I started off with the verse in Ephesians 5:15, which talked about being careful how we walk, you know, being wise and not unwise. Let me ask you this: how many of you had a tough week? Really? How many of you have had a tough couple of weeks? Okay. How many of you, your weeks were really full? A lot of stuff in them. Just seemed to drop out of nowhere, pile up. In fact, you're wondering, how are you going to do it all? You didn't plan for it all, but things just seemed to pop up, or things just seemed to fall on you. Is this resonating with anybody? Okay. Have you been struggling with feeling frustrated and frantic and irritated and upset? There we go. You're starting to wake up now. And some of you have been angry. Some of you have been struggling with feeling offended at others and by others. Oh, now they get quiet again. How many of you have experienced things lately that have just been weird? Things that made no sense. See, you've had things pile up on you. Yeah, there we go. Okay. You know, you've had things pile up on you, multiple things at once. You know, and some of you, how many of you have heard from people lately that you've not heard from in a long time? A few. Okay. Suddenly they pop up, along with all the unusual things. And it's all happening at the same time. And you've had your plans disrupted. Yeah. Well, I say all this because it's been happening to me too. Now, I have to admit, the first day or two, I didn't handle it very well. But the next day, I started hearing God. What I feel like what's going on is that God is doing is this. Some of it is more of that shaking that we've been talking about for a long time. But this is more of the brokenness of the world showing itself. As I said last week, you have the authority as God's children in a crazy, broken world. And so because of that, part of what's been going on is this is testing. Testing meaning that it's walking in the authority in the craziness. The testing is training for you to practice who you are and not lose yourself in the crazy time, which can only be developed by going through the crazy time. But there's more. Have you noticed that in the midst of all the craziness, did you notice all the prayers that God answered? Did you notice that despite all the craziness, all the things that God accomplished in spite of all of that? This is God taking you through a storm. But see, God allows the storm to show himself because the storm is about doing a work in you that can only be done in the storm. To where you get to the point to where you remain who you are because of him, because he has proven to you who you are. He's proven to you that he's in control. And so he's showing you that he's got things in the storm. All heck can break loose, but still, things are getting done. Prayers are getting answered. Why? Because he's still God in the midst of the storm. So don't let the storm take you out. Again, who do you run to? But some things can only be done or taught or reinforced in going through it, in going through the storm. And so things have been allowed. As I said last week, the big word for right now is trust. That's the word for the time. So as things go crazy, trust him. And when you see things get accomplished and you see prayers answered in the midst of the craziness, that is proof that you can trust him. Because trust is learned and forged through trusting. It's learning to not react in the storm and in the craziness, but just trust in him while you're in it. And that's why the answered prayers have been seen in the midst of the craziness. That's why things have been accomplished in all the craziness. Things may look bad, but just trust him. Trust is one of those things that God will periodically spring a surprise test on us in. There are others, but this is one of them, okay? And the surprise, and here's the thing about the surprise tests. We hate them. Right? We want to get a memo warning us with the time and date so that we can prepare and we could be at our best and get an A on the test. But you know what? That doesn't show what's really inside of you. And so God will spring a surprise test. They're more effective without warning, and they come at the worst possible time, but they're from him. because that is the best time for it to produce what God wants it to produce. What he wants to expose, what he wants to reveal, what he wants to put in you. The surprise tests are the best time for that. He knows that. We don't like it, but he knows that. Psalm 55, verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. Let me read that again. So are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. See, our problem is we don't always see it right away. And so therefore we get upset, we get frustrated, we get enraged. We don't know why this thing is happening or why God has allowed it. And sometimes we think it's the devil. And sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's God. And for some, there's a process of what he's doing with you. You know, and so therefore, because of the process, there's the pressure and there's the feeling of offense and there's the anger that comes up with this. And it exposes what is in you that maybe you didn't know was there. See, the goal is to bring it to your attention so you'll address it. Maybe it's an old hurt. Maybe it's something not fully addressed before. Or maybe it was something that before it wasn't time. You know, there's a timing in some things. And sometimes God will start to address something and say, oh, that's enough for now. And then he'll address the rest of it later. So when things push your buttons, it may not really be those things. It may not really be those other people. The issue may really be what is in you that God is kicking up. Just about done here. The last thing. The weird things. The things that make no sense. Some of you have hopes and dreams. Things that you have felt that the Lord has told you that he's going to do with you. Or things that are going to happen with you. And they haven't happened yet. And you've taken those hopes and you've thrown them on the trash heap. And you've said, okay, God, I guess this isn't going to happen with me. I guess I heard it wrong. Or whoever told me that word got it wrong. For some of you, these words, these things that happened this week that were weird, was a word to you. In what those things represent, that those things that you threw away are still good. Because it's not an issue of if it happens. It's a question of timing. It's an issue of when. And it's just not time yet, but it's coming. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 3. For the vision is yet for the appointed time. It hastens toward the goal, and it will not fail. Though it tarries, wait for it, for it will certainly come. It will not delay. Let's pray. God, I thank you for all the things that you're doing. I thank you for the things that we've been going through, the things we've been experiencing, the things we don't like, because you have a purpose in them. I pray, God, that you would just help us to learn everything to learn. Open our eyes, open our minds. And so as I'm praying right now, just prayerfully just focus on him. Lord, I pray that you would show us all the things that we need to see out of this week or the weeks that we've had that are crazy, that make no sense. That have just been really bad, been really challenging, been frantic. Things dropped on us. Give us the eyes to see what you were doing in the midst of that. Help us to put our pride down, our control down, and just look at you and say, okay, I am ready to receive what you were trying to do and show. God, I thank you that you do these little surprise exercises with us. Because the other thing is that if you didn't think we could handle it, you wouldn't spring them on us. So it's a commentary on how you see us, how you love us, how you value us. Sometimes we think we're lower on the scale, and we go through these things, and part of the lesson is to say, no, you're better than you think you are. That's why I'm springing this on you. You're better than you think, and I'm going to make you even better than that. Lord, we just thank you for what you're doing. For some of you, that week is over. For some of you, it's not yet. It's not punishment. He deals with us all individually. And so each one of you, he is specifically, intentionally working with you where you are to take you to where he wants to take you. Lord, not only give us the eyes to see all this now, but also as we go through this, whether it be continuing on for another day or two or whatever, or for the next time a pop quiz is laid on us, help us to learn from this so we're better the next time. Not just so we get an A on the card, but because we've grown. Because we've learned. We come out of this more like you, and we take that person into the next test. And Lord, I thank you for the unanswered dreams that are to be answered. And Lord, for those that their dream isn't coming, I pray that you give them a new dream. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. And I pray that as we enter into worship in a moment, that we would remember that we're just not singing songs. We're giving you glory for what you've done with us, for what you're doing with us. I pray that it would be a time of ministering to one another and to ourselves as we worship. Thank you, God, for all you've done and all you're going to do. And we just give you glory, and we just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.